Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and today we're going to do something just a little bit different on the podcast. Normally on podcasts, we feature interviews with current students, faculty, staff, alumni, but this is going to be a podcast all about answering questions that we frequently receive from applicants. And it's going to be me just talking through these common questions and providing answers. So if you are working on an application or just started the application process or even just orienting towards the application process, trying to figure out what's out there, hopefully you'll find this episode helpful and maybe some of these questions are questions that you have, and these answers will be helpful to you as you sort of think through next steps. So without further ado, here are a bunch of answers to questions that we frequently receive from our prospective students and applicants. So this is a little unique for us here on the podcast. Normally these are interviews, but we've been getting some questions on webinars, and we cover these on video blogs. So why not a podcast? Why not a podcast indeed? So let's talk a little bit about how our deadlines work. So we get a question from time to time from prospective students about when students start in our program and how all of that aligns with our deadline structure. So we have one start date here at the Darden School. All of our executive format students matriculate in August, and all of the deadlines that we have are focused on this one matriculation date. So an easy way to think of our monthly deadlines are sort of discrete rounds within a broader admission cycle. So if you've looked at our deadlines page, strongly encourage you to do so. It's out there on our website. You note that we have monthly deadlines, essentially the 10th of every month, starting in September and going all the way until May or June, or until the class fills. So that would be September 10, October 10, November 10. The one exception is December 1st, and followed by January 10, February 10, so on and so forth. So each of those deadlines functions as a discrete round. If you've looked at the deadlines page, you also likely noticed that the deadline has a target interview period where we will try to interview most of the people that we're considering potentially for admission during that round. And then we have a target release date where we will try to release the decisions for that round in question. Typically, it's about 3 weeks from deadline to decision release date. And the decision release date is typically the last working day of the month. So I'll use November 10, our November 10 deadline, as an example. So November 10 is the deadline. The target interview period is November 12th through the 20th. And the decision release date is November 30th. Of course, if you're admitted and you get that admissions decision on November 30th, you have typically about 3 weeks to consider an offer. The deposit deadline, and we only have one deposit date here at Darden, you pay $4,000 one time. And the deposit deadline for students admitted in our November round is December 20th. All of this information is on our website on the deadlines page, and encourage you to think about it and to spend some time with it as you plan for the months ahead. Our general advice regarding application timing is apply as early as you feel like you can put together a strong application. Early for us in the executive formats is any time up to including potentially our March round. By the time we get to April and May, things start to really tighten up. We have less availability in the class and oftentimes less scholarship money to work with. We have a finite number of seats and a finite amount of money to award. And so as we go through each round, we have fewer seats and less money to work with. So share that with you as you think about sort of your general time frame and when you're planning to apply. So we get a lot of questions around the time of the deadline from people who are working on their application. Their application's almost complete and it's not quite complete. So wanted to take on a few of the questions that we typically receive in that sort of category of question. Maybe this will speak to your experience if you're currently working on an application to our executive format. So first and foremost, deadline, is there a particular time associated with the deadline? There is not. So it's not noon on the day of the deadline. It's not close of business. It's not midnight. No specific time. So just any time on that day. And in fact, if you wrote to us and said, hey, look, I'm trying to finish my application, I need another day or two, we're happy to accommodate you. We want to include you in a round if we can. If you've watched some of our webinars, highly recommended. Our application tips webinars are out there on our video blog. You will note that our strong preference is to include you in a round. We want to get you in a round if we can, because you'll get a decision that much sooner. You'll get that much more clarity as to whether Darden will be an option for you. You can start planning for the months ahead and talking to all the various people in your life about your decision to go back to school, which is always exciting. So one of the things that oftentimes happens is that when people are applying, they find that one of their recommenders was really quick to respond But one of their recommenders is a little bit slower. So as you may know, as part of our application process, we require two recommendations. Two is all that is necessary. We will accept up to three, but really just focus on two people who know you well and ideally who've supervised you in a work or business setting. Preferably one of those people is your current supervisor. Current supervisor, we'll get into a little bit later what you might consider doing if you choose not to have your current supervisor write a letter on your behalf. So with all of that said, if you find yourself in the position of having one recommendation at the time of the deadline and missing one, go ahead and submit your application. All we require for initial review, and that's basically to determine interview invitation, is one recommendation, but we will need two letters to ultimately render a final decision. So what you should take away from that is that you need one at or around the deadline, one recommendation at or around the deadline, but you need two at least a few days prior to the decision release date. So again, let's talk about our November round. Say you had one recommendation on or around November 10th, you would really want to make sure that we received your second recommendation by no later than November 26, 27 or so, so that we would have opportunity to consider that recommendation and keep you on schedule for that round. The other question I get from a lot of folks around the time of the deadline is, look, I'm planning to take a test, you know, between the deadline and the decision release date or a little bit after the deadline. So let's use our November round as an example. So working on your application, application's basically complete except for your standardized test. And remember, we accept three standardized tests as part of our application process in the executive formats. That's the executive assessment, GMAT, and the GRE. We have no preference necessarily, but we strongly encourage you to consider taking the executive assessment. We view all the tests as equivalent, and we encourage candidates to seek out the test that best aligns with their strengths and abilities. However, we think that you may find it a little bit easier to fit the executive assessment into your schedule and be ready to take that test more quickly. The executive assessment is a 40-question, 90-minute test. It is largely based off of integrative reasoning with some verbal reasoning and some quantitative reasoning. It was designed in consultation with programs like ours. Darden was actually the seventh school globally to accept the executive assessment. We're very excited about it. And the nice thing about the test is it really was designed with this applicant pool in mind and what programs like ours need to assess candidates at this particular stage of their career. And the biggest thing for anyone who's planning, you know, to apply to an executive MBA program and thinking about the step in their life is that you don't have as much free time as you may have had in an earlier stage in your life. So carving out the 10 to 20 hours, that's doable, but finding the 100 plus hours for something like the GMAT or GRE to prepare and study for that, for one of those tests, can be much more challenging. And so we're big fans of the EA. And so I put that plug in here, just encourage you to think about it. It's a test that maybe candidates aren't quite as familiar with as, say, the GMAT or GRE. It's a newer test. We've been accepting it now for 3 years, but we're big fans. And so let's say you get to that application deadline and you are planning to take the test. You, again, using November 10 as an example, you're planning to take the test, say, on November 17. Can you still apply? Easy answer. The answer is yes. Just make sure to note your pending test date in the application itself in the test score section, and you can go ahead and submit your application. Once you take the test, you'll receive an unofficial score report. You should email us the score breakdown and the results of the test, and we'll make sure that's added to your file. And, of course, direct GMAC or whoever your test provider is, ETS, GMAC, depending on the test you choose, to send the official score report to us. But it's just that simple. If you're thinking about timing with respect to a pending test date, we generally ask that we have the test score in hand at least a few days prior to the decision release date. So again, somewhat similar to the recommendation example, you really, if you're planning to take a test after the deadline, you want to make sure you do it at least a few days prior to the decision release date so we can keep you on schedule with the round. So with, you know, our November round, the decision release date is November 30th. You would want to make sure that you take your test no later than the 26th or 27th so that we can keep you on schedule. Of course, if you take the test after that particular decision release date, or we receive your recommendation after the decision release date in question, it just delays your decision. You might be a little bit off schedule, or it may mean that we ultimately end up including you in the decision release for the next round. All that is situational and case by case. So these are just general examples, but hopefully you'll get some sense of the fact that we're here to work with you. We want to include you in a round, if at all possible. So those are two of the more common examples that come up from time to time. It's worth noting that our application process is entirely electronic. So as soon as you have finished your portion of the application, you can go ahead and submit the application, even if your recommendations are not in. Now, with that said, you will have to enter your recommender information so that those fields are populated at the time of submission. You can't submit the application unless you've put that information in. But as soon as you've finished everything on your end, go ahead and submit your application. Your recommendations will automatically associate with your application as they are received. Be sure to keep an eye on your recommendations. You'll get an email once they have been received. But the reality is it's probably the part of the application process. There's no probably about it. It is the part of the application process that takes the longest amount of time to come together. Your recommenders are really busy. And so not only do you want to make sure to check back with them when you put their information into the application, just to make sure that they receive the email containing the link to the electronic recommendation materials, you also want to make sure that they're aware of the deadline and just stay in touch with them throughout the process, see if they have any questions or you can be of help in any way. A quick plug for the Discover Darden blog. We have some really great blog posts on the various aspects of our application process across formats. So it really is very general advice that speaks to whether you're applying full-time or exec. And the recommendations piece really gets into a lot of this. So if you're working on your application and you're listening to this podcast, I encourage you to go to the Discover Darden blog, click on the app tips section, and just take a little bit of time to read through those posts. I think you'll find it very helpful. So again, talked about how our application process is electronic. One of the things that applicants will oftentimes ask is around standardized test score. Oftentimes ask around transcripts. Do we require official transcripts for our application process? It's a really easy question to answer. The answer is no, we do not require official transcripts for the purposes of our application process. Our application process unofficial transcripts are just fine. So what do we mean by official and unofficial transcripts? This is a little bit of maybe inside baseball and admissions. But typically speaking, a transcript that has been issued to you is an unofficial transcript. A transcript that comes directly from an academic institution to our office is an official transcript. So that would be without it being issued to you. So when you're applying a PDF upload, for example, of a transcript for any degree-related coursework that you did, it's just fine. If you are admitted to Darden, however, and decide to accept your offer, you should know as you plan and sort of think about the months ahead, you will be required to submit an official transcript from all degree-granting institutions prior to matriculation, or so prior to the start of school. So that's something you want to think about. And again, to be an official transcript, the transcript would need to come directly from your degree-granting institution to our office. So very easy to remember. For the purposes of the application process, unofficial transcript is just fine. If you are planning to matriculate at the Darden School, you will need to have official transcripts submitted from all degree-granting institutions. Hopefully that may speed things up a little bit as you work on the application. That is a question that we get with some frequency. The other question that people ask about is a company support letter. So you may note if you've looked through our application process that you can include a company support letter as part of your application materials. However, it's worth noting that a company support letter is not required as part of our application process. So we make it possible for you to submit a letter with your application. It's not required. It maybe saves you a little bit of time down the road if you're admitted and decide to matriculate at Darden. You will need to have a support letter sent in prior to matriculation. And so some of you may be wondering, well, exactly what is a support letter? A quick plug for the Discover Darden blog, as well as our website, some great materials out there on the company support letter and just what it is. But at a high level, very simply stated, it is a letter signed by your boss or whoever manages your time, acknowledging the requirements of the program and authorizing you to take the time necessary to participate in the program. So it's very simple, not an admissions or application process requirement, but it is a pre-matriculation requirement. And if you do not upload a company support letter as part of your application materials, again, you don't have to do that. But if you don't include it, you're not disadvantaged in any way. Got that question from an applicant not so long ago, and just want to be clear. We make it available at the time of applying just as a courtesy, as a convenience to you, but readily acknowledge that we are not expecting to get a company support letter at that particular time. So we talked a little bit about our standardized test requirement earlier. Again, it's not a GMAT requirement. It is a standardized test requirement. By that, we mean the executive assessment, GMAT, or GRE. There are a few instances in which we would consider granting waivers. They're pretty limited. I encourage you to check out our admissions FAQ page for more detail. But the most common examples of waiver instances is if you have a master's degree or advanced degree in a quantitative or analytical discipline, if you have professional certification in a quantitative or analytical discipline, and we will also, it's worth noting, accept an older or expired graduate level admissions test score. So sometimes it's the case that people took the GRE, say, 10 years ago. The score expires after 5 years, but for the purposes of our executive format application process, we will accept an older or expired GMAT or GRE score. So if that speaks to your situation, know that that's also an option. That's not necessarily a waiver, though. So let's talk about the waiver process. So you can find the waiver process outlined on our admissions FAQ page. You can find a link to the waiver request form both there and in our application. You don't need to have started an application to apply for a waiver. In fact, many people will apply for a waiver. It's just sort of an initial step to get some clarity on whether they need to take a standardized test to apply to Darden. As part of the waiver request process, we ask for a resume, transcripts, as well as a short statement highlighting any aspects of your background and work that you think is relevant to our consideration of your waiver request. It's just that simple. Some of those things, obviously, you would need for the purposes of the application process. So it does help you sort of get moving in that direction. And it typically takes us, you know, anywhere from 3 to 4 days to turn those around. And there are a few different outcomes. We could grant the waiver, or we could make a recommendation as to so unfortunately don't qualify for a waiver, but here's the test that we would recommend. And most often we will recommend the executive assessment. Again, can't stress this enough. We do view the EA, the GMAT, and GRE as equivalent tests. Oftentimes candidates will wonder if they submit a waiver request and they are not granted the waiver, will they be disadvantaged in any way? Is there any potential harm that comes with that? There's not. It's very understandable why people start at that place. You're busy working professionals. You've got a lot going on. You want to know with some certainty as to whether or not you need to take a standardized test as part of your application process. And so absolutely understand why people may start there. And in fact, that, you know, if that's something that's on your mind, go ahead and submit the waiver request, get that clarity, and so you can really begin planning the next step in your application process. It's also worth noting another question that we get from people is, you know, if I qualify for a waiver and I'm granted a waiver, am I disadvantaged in any way in the scholarship process? So let's get into the scholarship process just a little bit more as we sort of explore this question. So scholarship consideration is automatic for all admitted students here at Darden. No additional paperwork is required. All you have to do is apply, be admitted, and you'll be considered for a scholarship award. You're typically notified of your scholarship award at the time of the admissions decision, or at least soon thereafter. We have, you know, a more modest budget for executive format scholarships by comparison to what's available full-time. In a lot of ways, that may make some sense. A smaller program. Our students are working while pursuing their degree. So we have a little bit less money to work with. And our orientation as a scholarship committee is that we try to spread the money out to as many students as possible. So we tend to make smaller overall awards, but with the goal of awarding scholarships to as many students as are truly deserving. So that means in a given class of roughly 130 to 135 students, about a third of those students will have received a scholarship award. The average size of that award for our recent classes, for those students who have received a scholarship, is typically about $15,000 to $20,000 total. And if you're curious, about the range, we have awards ranging from $10,000 to, on the high end, $30,000 to $35,000. A question that we get from students from time to time is, well, how does that actually relate to tuition and billing? So there are 5 billing dates at Darden at the University of Virginia. So you'll have 1 billing date prior to the start of school, typically in August, and then essentially a bill due every 4 months or so. So if you're awarded $20,000 scholarship, that's for the entirety of the program, total award, that award will be broken into 5 equal increments, and your tuition will be discounted by that amount at each of those billing dates. So $4,000 taken off your tuition bill at each of the billing dates. The last billing date is typically in January or so before your May graduation. So that should give you hopefully a sort of very broad overview of the billing process and how it relates to the scholarship process. So returning to the question that got us here in the first place, if I apply for a waiver and I'm granted a waiver, will I be disadvantaged in the scholarship process? The easy answer to that is no. We have what we feel are real and valid reasons for waiving someone's test requirement. We don't waive it for just any old reason. We have actually arrived at this fairly narrow list after some thought and consideration. So if you qualify for a waiver, there's a good reason that you have. And, you know, we consider a lot of things potentially as part of the scholarship review, but it is worth noting that our scholarship review process is a little different than our admissions process. So our admissions process, you will see this time and again, particularly if you spend a little time with those blogs, is very holistic in nature. We're looking at a lot of things as we determine your potential for success here at Darden. So much of that consideration process is thinking about who you'll be culturally in the program. Obviously, a case method school, you're going to be collaborating and learning a lot. Discussing things, sharing your experience and expertise, but also you have to be willing to learn from others. Obviously, you want to know academically you're capable of doing the work, and being successful here at Darden is challenging. But at the same time, you know, we're going to be thinking a lot about who you'll be in the program and sort of your character and how you'll relate to your classmates as part of the admissions process. The scholarship process, though, you're really talking about merit-based scholarship awards. And as an initial sort of threshold consideration, when we think about, you know, academic merit, there are really four primary factors that we're considering. So undergraduate GPA, graduate GPA, standardized test score, or professional certifications. You have to check at least one or more of those boxes to sort of meet the scholarship, at least initial threshold scholarship requirement. And then if you do, we can consider other factors. For example, strength of interview, recommendation, quality of recommendations, a potential contribution to the class, all these kinds of things can come in, but you do have to show at least for one of those dimensions, an indication of sort of academic merit and distinction. And so that's how the scholarship process differs a little bit from the admissions process. Sometimes people who would otherwise qualify for a standardized test waiver, they think about their sort of undergraduate background or their graduate background. Maybe their GPA isn't quite where they would like it to be. They know they may have a professional license that may qualify them, for example, for a test waiver, but they ultimately choose to take something like the EA just to give the scholarship committee and admissions committee another data point to consider when reviewing so the admissions materials, but also when really thinking about those indicators of academic merit in the scholarship process. So there's, you know, that's part of the planning and consideration process as you sort of think through the strategy. But to be clear, if you've qualified for a standardized test waiver, you are not disadvantaged in any way in the admissions or scholarship process. We have limited instances in which we grant waivers, and there are very real reasons for why we do grant waivers in those instances. So the other question that we get is sort of progress through the application process. So we've talked about the application itself, talked about recommendations, talked about standardized test score, and talked about sort of the end part of it, the scholarship process, how all that works. But most candidates really want to talk about, you know, what's the interview going to be like? So at a high level, and not going to give too much away here, but there are a few things that you should know about our interview process. So our interview process is blind, meaning your interviewer will not know much about you. In addition, to being a blind interview, it's really more of a conversation. This is not a behavioral interview, or your interviewer is not going to come in with a bunch of questions necessarily to ask you about your background or tell me about a time when. It is really an opportunity to tell your story as we seek to learn more about who you are and who you will be in the program. When you think about that, there are really a few big questions you want to be prepared to speak to, sort of, you know, your background, sort of who you are at sort of biographical detail level, what you've done educationally, what your career has been so far, why you want to get an MBA. This is obviously a critical question for your MBA application process. Why you want to come to Darden? You know, what is it about this educational experience that really resonates with you? And then last but not least, what's your short-term goal post-MBA? What do you hope to accomplish? And what's your long-term goal post-MBA? All that's to say, you know, those are sort of some important touch points. Of course, you may probably want to think about hobbies and interests. You want to come in with a few questions and be prepared to talk about, be able to ask questions of your interviewer, ask for their perspective on things, maybe ask them a little bit about who they are, why they came to DAR, and these kinds of things. It's very much a conversation. So in a perfect interview, it feels very natural. And it's worth noting that every interviewer has his or her own style. So some of us are more conversational in that it's sort of a back and forth. Others may just give you, 20, 30 minutes or so to just talk about who you are and your background and to tell your story, and may give you a little bit more space. So understand that you could talk to someone who's applied to Darden, and his or her interview experience could be wildly different than your own, but it will still have some of these common features in terms of things that we're interested in. Ultimately, the fact that it's a blind interview, and you're really talking about a 30 to 35 minute conversation. So it's not going to be, an endless conversation. You really want to be able to, very sort of thoughtfully, succinctly tell your story, ask some good questions in about 30 to 35 minutes. I think sometimes people feel, gosh, how do you practice for that? Practice telling your story, making sure that you are getting across what's really most important to you as you think about, sharing more with your interviewer about who you will be in the program, why you want to do this, why you want to be here, what you hope to accomplish career-wise. And then last but not least, as you sort of think about orienting to learning more about Darden and the application process, all the things that are out there. So where are some places you can go for more information? First and foremost, heard it a couple times here, the Discover Darden blog. Lots of great information about both the full-time residential format as well as the executive formats there, and lots of good application tips post too. You can actually search by that category, exec application tips. Highly recommend the podcast. You're obviously here because this is the podcast. If you found this channel, it's great. We've got a bunch of episodes. We've done some about application tips, but really oftentimes just a great place to learn about the people who are in our program, who make our program what it is, and conversations with students and faculty, staff, and even some alumni. So encourage you to spend some time with this channel too. Of course, we're here to help. One of the best things about this kind of recruitment is how well you get to know candidates and how much interaction there is. Really develop relationships over the course of the admission cycle. So if you're thinking about how to sort of proceed through this, we encourage you to seek out a phone conversation. Is a great first introduction. You're coming to a large scale event, so something like a networking reception, maybe a networking breakfast. We do these from time to time in the D.C. area, happy hour, something like that. And then following up with an office hour, a coffee chat, something that's a little bit smaller scale. And then eventually thinking about coming for a class visit. Darden is a case method school. It is a place where people are really going to learn in a social and interactive and discussion-oriented environment. I mean, that's the excitement of it, right? It's the fact that it's participatory and you get to value and hear all these different perspectives in the room, and the work experience that people bring to the table is very much a part of your learning experience. And you need to see that, and you need to experience it. And the sort of culture of our program, is best experienced in person. And so if you come for a class visit, you have a chance to not only observe a class, but also to have lunch with the current students and really, hear about why they came to Darden, what they've enjoyed about the experience so far, things that they've learned, what their advice would be for you. So encourage you as you sort of think about the sequence of next steps or sort of progressing through the prospective student to applicant process. Those are some touch points that we would encourage you to seek out. Particularly a class visit can be really helpful. There's no better way to get a feel for just what a program is all about. And can't say this enough. We are here to help. We have webinars, podcasts, blogs, and we have in-person events and all these kinds of things. But don't be afraid to send an email, give a call. As I noted when we got started here with this particular podcast episode, you can always be reached by email, by phone. And so, as always, thanks for listening. Let us know how we can help. You can be reached at exec, that's EXEC, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. And that was the FAQ episode hosted by me, Brett Twitty, Director of Admissions for the Executive Formats. Hopefully we answered all of your questions, but I'm guessing we probably didn't. And if not, we can always be reached at exec, that's EXEC, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, thanks for listening.